I fear, said Sefino, that this is the beginning of a long, complicated headache. Aunt Lily snapped up. I knew it! I knew there was a reason I liked you, Korsakov! Joe, give me that box! There was energy in Aunt Lily's voice that Joe had never heard before. She handed the black box to Aunt Lily, who immediately curled up with it on the floor, poking and shaking it.
Wait, wait,
Korsakov rasped, waving at Aunt Lily.
Please, before you fiddle with that box, I must insist. Do not touch that crank.
Aunt Lily's hand hovered over the crank. Why not?
I'm not sure, admitted Korsakov, mopping his brow. But my digestive juices swirl most excruciatingly every time anyone's hand approaches it.
If only for that reason, muttered Sefino. Turn that crank for all it's worth. I remember this box, said Aunt Lily. I think I built it. She turned it over and tapped the bottom 3 times. With a tiny puff of dust, it popped open. Aunt Lily jumped a little, and Joe sat up curiously. Something was rattling around inside. Aunt Lily carefully removed a silver ring from the box. Then she took out a gold ring. Joe leaned forward. Both rings had tiny carvings of fish with jeweled eyes and tiny scales. Let me see, said Joe, drawing closer. Aunt Lily didn't seem to hear her. She examined the rings, shaking her head and whispered, This ring? It has my name engraved on the inside.
No way, said Joe.
And the other one? Aunt Lily stared at Joe, suddenly clutching the silver ring to her chest. Her eyes clouded over, and she seemed lost, confused. But finally she exhaled and handed Joe the ring. The name Joe Hazelwood was engraved on the band. Hazelwood? Who's Hazelwood? Joe became excited. Aunt Lily, is that my real... I don't know, said Aunt Lily in a small voice. Have you ever seen these before?
No, I... Yes, I have. No, I haven't.
Aunt Lily furrowed her brow.
They're familiar, but
I have no idea where I've seen them before. Joe looked hard at Aunt Lily. What's wrong? It's like I'm almost remembering something, but I can't. Aunt Lily squeezed her eyes shut. Maybe it's something I'd rather leave forgotten. Joe slid the ring on, admiring the twisty silver curves and wriggling fish. She didn't know what the rings meant, either, but something about them felt like a promise.
Ahem! Colonel Korsakov coughed. Now, as I mentioned, that black box is the property of Ken Kang, a supremely wicked man. He has been chasing us ever since we stole it. If he finds us here, I shall protect you. And if we must escape, my plane is hidden in the foothills.
Joe looked up. You have a plane?
Oh, yes, said Korsakov.
He had devoured everything on his tray and now peered around with mild disappointment.
I don't wish to trouble you, but you wouldn't happen to have 3 or 4 more eggs, would you? A 6 dozen more sausages? Ham off the bone, if you could manage it. My digestion is a precision instrument, you see, and it requires proper maintenance.
Well, I'm a waitress down in town, said Joe. I was just about to go to work. You could come to the cafe or...
Capital, said Korsakov, rising from bed. The day hasn't truly started until its 2nd breakfast. Well, Sefino?
Sefino glanced up impatiently from a pile of papers on which he had been busily writing.
I doubt Dust Creek is noted for culinary achievement, he snorted. I shall remain here and work on my 12,000-line epic poem on how Chatterbox is a contemptible hack and a disgrace to modern journalism.
Of course, sighed Korsakov. You always do.